What we've been talking about in the last month, we've been talking about called to be, called to be. And what I'm going to say today is really going to be an encapsulation or a summation of what I've been talking about. Beatty, our worship pastor, spoke on. Blake, our college pastor and a Growth Track pastor. We've been speaking on this subject. And so what I'm going to do, there's going to be some crossover with what I say today as I give you really a summation of that, with a little bit more added to that this morning. So if you hear something for the second time, like I said, I'm just bringing a summation to what we've been talking about. Because next week we're going to talk about loving our city. Beta's going to come up because we need to reach our city to change the world. And next week we're going to be talking about doing that so that we can reach our community and prepare for an evangelist to come in and share the word with us in a few weeks. This series, we've been talking called to be. And the reason it was in my heart to talk about called to be is because I want people in this church and anyone who's within our voice who can hear this to understand that you are important, that your life matters, that you're not a mistake. Even if your parents didn't plan you, you're not a mistake. That God's hand is on your life and there is a purpose for you being here, that you're called to be. You are God loves you. He cares for you. And that He is not going to abandon you or forsake you. Because you are called to be in Him. And that's why I wanted to talk today. Let you know the importance of who you are. You are important to the kingdom of God. You're not just a mistake. You're not just somebody who just is taking up oxygen and eating food and taking up resources. But your life really does matter. And we're at a people-affirming church. People ask, what kind of church are you? I said, we're a people-affirming church. In other words, I don't care what color you are. I don't care what race you are. I don't care how much money you've got. I don't care what country you're from. You're created in the image of God. And your life, we're all equal before Jesus. And your life matters so much that Jesus Christ came here and died on the cross and He rose from the dead so that you could be forgiven and become a child of God. That's how much He cared for you. And it wasn't based upon anything you did. It wasn't based upon how good you looked or how good you don't look. Or what country you're from or the color of your skin. It's based upon what He did. And we are created in the image of God. So that's why we've been talking about called to be. Because your life matters. Your life matters. Here's the scripture I want to read to you today. Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might. I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling. Now, calling, that word calling, is really used quite a bit in Christianity or religious circles. Outside of that, people would probably use the word destiny. Do I have a destiny? What is my destiny? I think this is a question that people ask all the time. Do I have a destiny? Is my fate sealed? And even Hollywood depicts this and portrays this question in different movies. And I want to just play that clip where this whole topic of destiny comes up.
What's the matter, Mama?
I'm dying, Forrest.
Come on in, sit down over here.
Why are you dying, Mama?
It's my time. It's just my time. Oh, now, don't you be afraid, sweetheart. Death is just a part of life. Something we're all destined to do. I didn't know it, but I was destined to be your mama. I did the best I could.
Well, you did good, Mama.
Well,
I happen to believe you make your own destiny.
You have to do the best with what God gave you.
What's my destiny, Mom?
You're gonna have to figure that out for yourself. Life is a box of chocolates, Forrest. You never know what you're gonna get.
Mama always had a way of explaining things so I could understand them.
I will miss you, Forrest.
So even Forrest Gump is asking, what is my destiny? What is my destiny? You know what he's really asking? What is my future? And do I really matter? That's really the heart of that question. What is my destiny? And on a side note, before I go any further in this, she's talking about a box of chocolates. You know, that's what they call folk theology, the theologians. In other words, they say some statement that is not quite biblical, but has a little bit of truth into it. So like, God helps those who help themselves. Or cleanliness is next to godliness. That kind of folk theology. So I'm not here today to talk about folk theology. But I want to hear, I'm today to talk to you today about is your future. He wants to know, is his future? Does he have a future? Does it matter? And so when you're thinking about destiny or the people out in the world apart from the church, when people are discussing destiny, they're talking about the future. They're talking about where they're going. Something outside of themselves pushing them in a direction, some kind of predestined plan. Some would say you control your own destiny, like Forrest's mama. Some say you control your destiny, but you can't control your fate. And so these are just some of the terminology and some of the conversation that I've seen with people talking about destiny. There's even some quotes. Let me read you a couple of opinions on destiny. It's not in the stars to hold our destiny, but in ourselves. In other words, in ourself, William Shakespeare, I can find my destiny within me. It's not in the stars. Or it is a moment, or it's moments of decision that your destiny is shaped. You control your future. You control your destiny. And another one says you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards. I control my destiny, but not my fate. Now, I would like to call these are what I call extra-biblical views of destiny. In other words, it's things that are apart from God. It's this mystical power or power within you, this force that pushes you forward in destiny. But I would dare say that that's not really the biblical way to look at the term destiny. First off, the Bible doesn't use the term destiny, except in predestiny as far as getting saved. The Bible uses the term calling. So the biblical term is calling. So we have, as a Christian, or any person, if they're not even there yet, if they're not a Christian yet, they all have a calling, a destiny in God. Ephesians 1 again says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. His calling, not, you didn't notice this. He says the hope of his calling, not the hope of your calling. In other words, it's his calling. He calls you, and he calls you for many different things. And we've already been talking about that over the last month as far as called to be. But calling really is his hand on your life. And I'm going to propose to you today that calling is not necessarily about your job or your position on earth. Or your destiny is not necessarily about destination, a destination that you reach. And I'm going to come back and talk about calling in just a moment, but let me address destiny. I don't believe destiny is just a destination that you reach and you go, here I am. But we are called on a journey, which ultimately leads us to eternity in heaven if you're a Christian. That's the end of the destiny. That's the end of the journey. Destiny and calling unfold in God's plan for you throughout your life. It's your path. It's your journey. Life is a journey. And on this journey of life, you're going to be doing certain things at certain times. It's going to be your calling. You're going to be on a destiny, not to a point where it says, I have arrived, but it's going to be on a journey where life is continually moving and going. If you drive on Highway 40, if you take Highway 40 and you drive cross country, what's interesting is that when you go into North Carolina, then you hit the mountains, and then you hit Tennessee, and it really, other than the mountains, it still looks about the same. You got some hills and some valleys you had to go through and cross over. But you still have the trees, you still have the green. And so you're on this journey. You're headed on your destiny. You're following your calling of God. You're following after God. And you go past, let's say you get past Tennessee, you get into Arkansas. Stays about the same, it's still green everywhere you go. Then you start getting into Oklahoma. And it begins, the terrain begins to change. It begins to be a little bit more brown. A little more prairie starts happening. But you're still in America. You still have the same driving rules. And you got to stay, you still got to keep it between the lines. You still have this path that you're on. But you're on a journey. Life is the journey. And so you go past Oklahoma. Then you get into the panhandle of Texas. And man, it really changes then. All these cows are out there. And then there's all this brown prairie kind of stuff. Alan, I know they're from Amarillo, Texas. And so we went through Amarillo when we were on vacation. You go through there, and the terrain changes, but yet I still have the same rules. I'm still following the same path. I still have the same driving requirements. I got to keep it between the lines. But things are changing. Then you go over to the next. You hit New Mexico, and all of a sudden, it really drastically changes. And you start going over these horizons, and you see these amazing rock formations. You're like, take a picture. I've never seen anything like this. How many of us have gotten on this journey and said, I've never seen anything like this? But you're still on the journey. You're still following the calling. You're still on that destiny that God has for you, even though things look differently to you right now than they did. And maybe I'm speaking to this older crowd. Maybe we're the ones who've seen it more. Changes. That we go on, we're in New Mexico. Then you come over another hill, and there's this other great, amazing thing. And you take pictures because you've never seen it. And it's like life is like this continual. You go through a valley, go over the mountain, and then there's another horizon ahead. That's your destiny, is to follow Jesus where he's taking you. The calling is his hand upon you to direct you as you go. And then you keep going, and just the changes that happen. Then there's times I noticed on these journeys that it seems like there's long stretches of time where there's nothing changing much. Seems like I'm wasting my time. Seems like nothing's going on. I mean, it's just long stretch of land. Nothing's changed. I remember when we were driving, I've driven through Tennessee, and I was telling Lee Workman, that is the longest state I've ever driven through. I thought we would never get from one end of Tennessee to the other. And the terrain doesn't change. I mean, it's the same way all the way down. I did appreciate the fact that you could stop off anywhere you wanted to. You get out west, there's like miles and miles of nothing. If you break down, you're going to be out there a while. You know, you better have some gas. I've never had to plan gas like I have going out west. But anyway, there's stretches in life where things just don't seem to be changing very much. But you don't realize there's a whole lot more changing than you really realize. There's a whole lot going on deep inside of you because you're on that journey of life. You're on the destiny that God has for you. It may not be a one place. I don't know that you're going to get to one place and say, I've got my destiny. A lot of people in their jobs, some people will say, I feel called to do what I'm doing right now. I feel called to be a doctor. I feel the calling. A lot of people work jobs and just don't necessarily feel a calling, but this is paying the bills right now. It may be where you are right now. That doesn't mean that's the ultimate destination, but you're on a path. You're on God's calling. He's calling you, and he's leading you and guiding you. So there's times in life you look and go, what is going on here? No, some of us can say, I've got a call. Some of us say, I'm just working the job right now. But ultimately, there's more to this. If there's one thing I want you to carry away from this sermon today, if you don't remember anything else that's been said today or in the past few weeks, I want you to remember this. You are called to a purpose. Calling, destiny, all falls under purpose. We all have purpose. No matter what your job is, no matter where you are in your career, no matter where God has placed you, as you've been going through these valleys, and you're going and it's opening up into new areas that you're not used to, you're still called to purpose. No matter what's going on in your life, you have a purpose. And you're serving God through the purpose that He has for you at this point in your life. If you don't remember anything else today, I want you to walk out of here and say, I've got a purpose. Whether I like my job, hate my job, whether I feel like I'm right on where I need to be in my life right now, you have a purpose. And you're going to have stretches of time in your life, on these, like I said, on that highway, where there's going to be nothing changing, it seems like. You're going to be on this long path. Nothing's changing. I don't feel any different. But you are changing. It's sort of like your kids. You know, I go off with my children, for those of us who have small kids, and say we're gone, you say I don't see a friend of mine for 2 or 3 years. And I haven't really noticed that my kids have grown that much, other than they've eaten more or something. I had to buy more clothes. I guess I noticed it that way. But for the most part, when you're right there in front of them, you don't notice the changes as much. But somebody you hadn't seen for 3 years come in and says, man, your children have gotten so big. I didn't feel like I've changed at all. I don't know what's happened or anything happened at all, but you're on that journey, and if you're trusting God that He's got the calling, that you're functioning in the calling, which means you're functioning in His will in your life. So what's my calling? You're called to be in His will, for one thing. And so what I'm going to do here is I've got 5 points as far as called to purpose. Now, a couple weeks ago, Beatty Bass came up, and he preached on certain points of a biblical call. And he talked about believe, be like Christ, boast in the gospel, or preach or be unique. So he had 4 B's. Now what I'm going to do is sort of like an addendum to that. I'm sort of adding to that with some summations from some other points. But I went through the book of Ephesians, and just to hit hard on this aspect of purpose, you're called to a purpose. So when you're asking yourself, what's my call? Has anybody ever asked that before? Maybe it's just me. What am I called to do? Do I have a destiny? My question is yes, as long as you're in obedience to God's will for your life. You're in His call. You're in His destiny. That's why you can change jobs 10 times and still be in God's destiny if that's where He's leading you, if that's where He's guiding you for that. Because ultimately, your destiny ends when you die and you go to heaven. Eternity is where the destiny is. The final destination. And I'm not talking about that movie either. The final destination. Anyway. I guess a few people know that movie. I didn't watch it. Anyway. Called to follow Him. Number one, you're called to follow Jesus. You're called to follow Jesus. And that's what Beatty talked about when he talked about believe. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself according to the kind intention of His will. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. He chose us. Why would a holy God choose me and you? Maybe I should speak for myself. Why would He choose me? I have nothing to offer God that He didn't already have. But He chose us because He loves us. He chose us because He cares for us, as I opened up my talk with, that you are chosen by God. There's no coincidence that you're here today. There's no coincidence that God has touched your life. You're here because God wanted you to hear that your life matters and your life is important. But He chose us in Him. We didn't choose Him. He chose us. And He came after us, even in our good and our bad and our ugly. He came after us. That's what's so wonderful about the gospel. He came to us and wanted us. Number two, we're called to be trained. It says, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So first and foremost, you're called to follow Jesus. Secondly, you're called to be trained, to be equipped, to be disciple, to let people work, let God work in your life to make you ready for what He has for you in your life. We come here on, this is a, do you realize this is training ground here on Sunday? No, I thought I just came in here just to feel good. No, you come in here, I hope you're feeling good when you get, I'm not trying to say we shouldn't feel good, but we're coming here because we want to be trained to fulfill all that God has for us. No matter what your calling is, if you're called to be a teacher, if you're called, whatever your area of where God has you at, He wants you to be trained so that you can be a witness to the people around you. If you're a Christian in here today, He wants you to know He wants to use you. You know God wants to use you today? Can you believe God wants to use you? Eddie, I got too many problems. Well, y'all got problems. I'm not perfect. Well, we might join the club. The only perfect one is Jesus. But He still wants to use us. No matter where we are in our lives, no matter what we've done, He's a forgiving God. And He'll forgive us and He'll use us for His kingdom. And it says here, the next number three is called for good works. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. So, we're saved by grace. You can't work your way into heaven. But He has planned for us good works. Let me tell you what, in the kingdom of God, there's no retirement plan. You're still a Christian. You may retire from your occupation, but you don't retire from the kingdom of God. You still serve Jesus. You're still on that path of destiny. You're still traveling cross country on the highways that God has for you. You're not parking you out back. You don't get parked out back in the kingdom of God. You know, when your truck or car gets so many miles on it, you sort of park it back in some areas of the country. People just put their old cars back in the backyard and let them sit back there and fall apart. I've not quite understood why. I figured you would just sell it anyway. But there are some people who put the cars back in the back of the yard, and I'm talking about my old family here. I'm not talking about anybody else. And they park it back there when its usefulness is no good. No longer needed. But in the kingdom of God, everybody's usefulness is right until you take your last breath. There's no stopping. You don't get parked in the back to disintegrate and fall apart. You're always on that road of destiny. Even when you're in those stretches of land where nothing seems to be changing, where you can't see any difference, like water, it's like you're just going and going and you see nothing, but you don't realize where you've come and where you're going. God is still working in your life. You're not going to be kicked to the curb. Anybody like that? I've heard that phrase. I got kicked to the curb. Well, God doesn't kick you to the curb. So those of us who are young, who are just getting started, those of us who are more mature, there's no kicking to the curb, people. We might change. Our careers may change. Our roles and responsibilities may change. But you're still an ambassador for Christ up until the last moment. On this destiny and on this journey and on this calling that you have. And at some point, you're going to go over this mountain and there's going to be this valley opened up and you're going to be like, man, look, I've never seen this before. I've never seen these rock formations. And you're going to be like, wow, God, you just happened to open up things for me I didn't expect. Maybe I'm preaching to the older crowd today. You younger people look at me like, what are you talking about? called for good works. In other words, he's still got a work for us to do. If you're a young person in here and you're like, I don't know what I'm called to do. Keep following after Jesus. You're on the path. Just stay between the lines. Don't jump the ditch and go off onto some other way. Stay on what the Word says. That's right. Thank you, Trish. Thank you for the help up here. Stay in the direction that the Word of God is taking you in. And as you go, your destiny is going to unfold. Your calling is going to unfold before you as you go. Number four, we're called to be together. And I preached a whole sermon on this. We're called to be together as the church. But speaking in truth and love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. The whole body joined together, the proper working of each individual part. Every person in this church is important. Every person has a role to play. Every person has a place of service here in this church. Sometimes God is going to use you to do your service even so beyond this church. He'll have you in your job, in your businesses, serving the community. But the bottom line is we're called to be together as a church to reach our city, to change the world. And I preached a whole sermon on this. I'm not going to go any further on that. You can go to our website if you want to hear that one. Number five, called to fight the good fight of faith. It's all these are out of Ephesians. One thing about the book of Ephesians, I could have kept right on with 5 or 10 more of these. The book of Ephesians is so rich. And it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the day of evil, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm. On this path, there's a devil out there. We're supposed to fight the good fight of faith as a Christian. If we really want God's will, if we want to fulfill the calling and the destiny that God has in our lives, we've got to stay on the path. We've got to keep moving ahead and realize it's not going to be easy. There's going to be times in life it's going to be tough. There's going to be times in life you're going to get flooded out. You're going to have to rebuild your house. You're going to be on this long journey. Your car is going to break down and everybody's flying by you. And you're wondering as you're standing on the side of the road, this has happened to me, by the way. People are flying by you, could care less what's going on in you, but you're broke down. But God cares. But you're going to have those kind of things on the journey. There's going to be breakdowns. There's going to be maybe some detours. There's going to be unexpected valleys you're going to cross into and go, wow, I've never seen that before. Oh, wow, I don't want to go to that area. But God is always with you through it out at all. You got to be willing to fight the good fight of faith. You got to be willing to hold on to Him and say, I don't know what's going on. I don't know where you're taking me. But Lord, I know you've got this. You called me. I have a destiny in you. And I believe He's going to take you and do things. But you got to be willing to fight. You got to be willing to stand strong. You got to be willing. One thing about it, Jesus never promised us a rose garden. I'm not going to start singing that song. I never promised you a rose garden. I will say, anyway, I'll stop before I get, so y'all start throwing stuff at me. But anyway, I never promised you everything was going to be hunky-dory. Is it we people still use that word? Anyway, never promised you everything was going to be easy, but He promised you through His Word that He's going to be faithful to you no matter where you are on that journey of life, no matter where you are on that destiny that He has for you, which is your calling, no matter what you're doing or what He's going to have you do in the future, God's hand is on you. I guess the question is, as we wrap it up, if we're called to purpose, If destiny and calling are our journey of life, but we're all called to purpose, what purpose are you going to serve? Whose purpose are you going to serve? Are you going to serve the purposes of God in our generation? Or are you going to serve your own destiny that you can try to make happen in your own self and go after what you want above what God wants for you? Or are you going to say, God, I surrender to your calling. I surrender to your destiny because you have my best interest at heart and you know what's best for me. That's what this is all about today. We're all called to purpose. I can't tell you what your destiny is going to be. Farsa's mama was right. You got to find your destiny in God. I can't tell you what your calling is, but I can tell you this much. You're called to purpose. You're called to fulfill what God has called you to do. No matter what that is and no matter what that looks like right now in your life, whether you're a young child or whether you're getting on up in age, there's still a purpose and a calling for you. And let me just reiterate this again. Destiny is not a destination you reach. Calling is not a destination you reach. I believe it's a journey that you live on and you go after God. Amen. Let me pray for you.